The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Money FM Singapore Budget Conversations with Vikram Khanna, Straits Times, and Alvin Liu, UOB Global Economics and Markets Research.
It is a big day today, Budget 2019 Day, a day we'll see some policies being introduced affecting people from all walks of life. The budget, of course, will be announced by Finance Minister Heng Swee Keat in Parliament this afternoon, 3:30 p.m.
Now, there are a couple of questions on a lot of people's minds. Will this, for example, be an election budget?
Ah.
And now this is amid expectations that an early polls may be called later this year. Will there be perhaps increase in government spending? And also, what will Mr. Heng prioritise as leader of the ruling PAP's fourth generation team?
We welcome in the studio Vikram Khanna, Associate Editor, Straits Times. Good morning, Vikram.
Good morning, Elliot.
And of course, joining us, Alvin Liu, Senior Economist and Senior Vice President, Global Economics and Markets Research at UOB. Good morning, Alvin.
Good morning.
Time to get into some context of, well, what to expect in Budget 2019. What are some of the pressing issues that Singapore needs to address? I will ask the reporter in you, Vikram.
Okay. I think as a backdrop, we are facing what is likely to be a growth slowdown.
Okay.
We have a slowdown in China. We have the U.S. economy starting to speak out, and the government has put out a forecast of 1.5 to 3.5%, which is a sort of unusually wide range. So they're obviously building some downside risk. They're allowing for some downside risk. So that is one issue that has to be addressed, the coming slowdown. I think there's, well, this has been well telegraphed, the Merdeka package. This is going to be basically a big healthcare package for people in their 60s. Mm-hmm. But along with that, you're going to have rising healthcare costs as there's going to be more and more consumption of healthcare services. We have infrastructure spending that is going to continue. We have a lot of big projects on the anvil. We got the Tuas Megaport, Changi, Terminal 5, new MRT lines, et cetera, et cetera. That is going to continue. And then, as you read on the news, the SMEs, who contribute, what, two-thirds of employment, they have to still digitize more, they have to internationalize, they have to innovate. So there'll be incentives, there should be incentives in that area. I think another area of concern is labor policy.
Okay.
You continue to have companies complaining about finding it difficult to hire workers. So I think it'll be interesting to see how the government addresses that. You also have continued emphasis on skills development, and we have the Skills Future program. It's interesting to see whether that might be expanded in some way. And finally, I think you have the whole issue of inequality. We have improved on that score, but I think that is still an issue that probably should be addressed.
Alvin, that's a long list from Vikram. For you, what are you zooming in on?
Okay. I think if we look back into the last year's budget itself, what are the key things that you found that on the basis of a fairly good year in 2017, economically speaking? So there was not many emphasis on short-term measures to help businesses. So right now, as what Vikram has rightly pointed out, we are looking at a slower year this year. Yeah. So you might just see more of such measures coming in to help companies to tide through a slower period, and possibly because on the backdrop that some of the key trading partners like China is slowing down, some of the companies that are facing external difficulties because we are very trade dependent, we'll get to see more measures coming in this particular budget. And of course, all the long-term structural measures that Vikram has pointed out is really something that has been a theme in not just going to be in this budget, but has been in the budget for quite a while, as most people would remember. Other things that you probably would look out for, of course, last year, Minister Heng has already given us the timeline for the next GST hike.
Yeah.
I don't think it will come in this year, definitely, because based on his timeline, but he might give out a bit more details on how this timeline is going to evolve. Or he may be talking about something more happy.
So we might get something more specific with regard to GST.
We might get some timeline, but he may not. I think that there is a better chance that he might give more details on something else, such as one is they talked about taxing, reviewing GST imposition on online purchases.
E-commerce tax.
E-commerce tax.
Okay.
So more details will be coming out on that, probably. And other things that we'll look forward to in this, we think, of course, the sugar tax has been quite widely talked about. It might just come in here. Not much of a revenue generator in our view, but definitely on the indirect health benefits, healthcare benefits, right? From that itself, it could be immeasurable. Other things that one of our Singapore economists thinks that might be high time that they will do might be an alcohol tax or another alcohol tax increase. So we'll see.
Okay.
Can I just bring you back to something interesting that you pointed out, Vikram? And it's the question of inequality and how that's going to be addressed in this budget. Now, this conversation in Singapore about inequality really has been in the forefront in the past 6 to 9 months or so. What are your thoughts in terms of what sort of measures are going to be put in place to address this?
Well, first of all, let me just say that the government has been putting in place a lot of measures over the last 5-6 years. I mean, you've had a huge shift towards social spending, right? Yeah. I mean, social spending in 2012 was about 40% of total spending. It's now closer to 50%. And most of that social spending has gone to the average person, the lower income groups and so on. We've put in place a lot of social safety nets. You know, we had workfare income supplement. We've had the MediShield Life, the Silver Support Scheme, the Pioneer Package, the CPF housing grants, the GST vouchers, and so on. So there have already been a lot of measures put in place to sort of tackle the whole issue of inequality. Now, the only outstanding issue really is whether you're going to do something about this tax structure, whether you can raise taxes, income taxes. They have actually been raised. I think the income tax has bottomed out. It's now the top rate stands at 22%. I think that's a tough one. That's a tough one. On the corporate tax side, I don't think there's a whole lot of room because we're at 17%, but our competition is not the region. The competition is global for corporate tax. I mean, Ireland is at 12.5%. I mean, Hong Kong is at most 16.5%. The U.S. is heading towards 21% in the new tax plan. So if you want to be tax competitive, I don't think you can do very much about corporate tax rates. The other choices to deal with inequality, you know, you can talk about reintroducing estate duties.
Okay.
Estate duties, which were scrapped, I think, in 2008 or so. But estate duties, one, are very easy to avoid. The rich can set up trusts and they can distribute income during their lifetimes. And estate duties are also not a great money spinner. So rather than sort of soaking the rich, I think the emphasis must be probably more on continuing to provide social services that benefit the large, vast majority of the population.
Now, Alvin, can I ask you the same question as well? What are your thoughts in terms of how the government could address some of the inequality and perhaps address some of the issues related to the bottom 40 of the income spectrum?
Largely, all what Vikram had said, I will definitely agree. But of course, the true amount of what is really fitting to, from a budget perspective, to be given in part of like social expenditure, right? That always remains a question and who we benchmark us against. If we're looking at some of our more developed economies, we certainly have some space yet to go in terms of percentage to meet up with that. And in terms of bringing out the lower income group, definitely measures such as putting more into education and try to level the playing field for the low income group. That would actually be slightly more sustainable to bring a closer gap. To just throw in money to give them welfare in that sense, right, wouldn't be able to bring it down a whole lot, or not in a very sustainable manner.
This morning, we're speaking with Vikram Khanna, Associate Editor, Straits Times, as well as Alvin Liu, Senior Economist and Senior Vice President, Global Economics and Markets Research, UOB. It's our Budget 2019 preview. Alvin, just sticking with you, bearing in mind our population is getting older, could you give us some context and thoughts on the fiscal strain right now in terms of the fiscal sustainability of things?
Definitely, when we look at all the different kinds of costs that are expenditures across the years, some of the expenditures that have grown quite extremely fast is one of them definitely would be healthcare. Yeah. And that's quite closely related, definitely related to the greying society. It's not a unique problem to Singapore, but it's nonetheless something that still needs to be addressed. Of course, we have seen over the years the changes in terms of the NIRC contribution to try to have more revenues. But of course, if we were to imagine that we hit a really bad patch in terms of economic global growth or slowdown or global economic financial crisis, then there might be quite a issue of how that we can generate the returns, especially if it turns out to be a very prolonged period of stress.
We'll get to those investments in just a bit. But Vikram, this theme of healthcare, aging population, it's probably going to continue, in your opinion, for the next couple of years?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're going to give the something like the Merdeka package, you're going to have more and more consumption of healthcare. So the government's healthcare subsidy bills are going to keep going up. So that's definitely something that's going to cause funding pressures. So I think there will be some pressure to raise revenue. Mm-hmm. Alvin talked about some of the options. I think one interesting possibility on GST, I mean, I know we have to wait sometime between 2021 and 2025 to see when it's going to happen. Yeah. But before that happens, I think there's an option to lower the GST registration threshold.
Okay.
Right now, it's $1 million, you know. You've got to have a turnover of $1 million before you register for GST. Now, that's very high by international standards. That's really high. In Malaysia, before they scrapped GST, the threshold was 500,000 ringgit. Okay. In Australia and the UK, it's way below. It's way below $1 million. So I think that is one possibility, and it might be interesting to do that when GST rates are still low. So you bring more businesses into the GST net, right? So that is an option. On the contribution of investment returns, I know some economists have suggested that, you know, you should raise it to 60% of long-term revenue, of long-term return, rather than 50% as at present. But I don't think there's a hurry to do that, as Alvin pointed out. I mean, it's something you should sort of keep in the bag for a real crisis. And, you know, we have GST coming in already. So I think for now, we're okay. So, but, you know, that is something that we should think about for the future.
So, Alvin, you know, both of you have talked about increases in expenditure, particularly in healthcare, and that's a big line item moving forward. But where are the potential new future revenue drivers coming from Singapore and for the budget?
Definitely, if they fix up something for the GST for online purchases, that's one.
E-commerce.
Yeah. The impending GST hike itself will also bring in quite a significant amount of revenue. But if, like what Vikram has pointed out, I think if you are looking at changes in corporate and personal income tax, corporate itself, the competition is really quite tough in terms of the global field. But of course, if there is a better telegraph message, right, I think personal income tax may be able to see some increase if we put it on a very social, equitable basis, why we are doing that. But of course, it comes with its own baggage.
For sure.
Gentlemen, one of the things that perhaps we've not discussed and I want to highlight is a point made by analysts in the past that perhaps an overhaul of how healthcare is funded perhaps needs to be looked at. For example, many countries have national health financing schemes which are quite different from Singapore's. We have our MediShield and MediSave and things like that, but we don't have some sort of pooled risk healthcare coverage. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think one option is to encourage people to take up private medical insurance. That'll take some of the burden off the government spending. So, I mean, I think, for example, you could have something like giving tax incentives so that, you know, your premiums for private medical insurance are tax deductible. So I think it's a good idea to shift some of the burden to the private sector. Another thing is to incentivize companies to cover their employees, maybe make some of their healthcare spending also more tax deductible. So those are some of the options. I mean, I don't think we should go down the road of developing a sort of government-funded scheme like in Europe. I think we already have quite a lot of government funding. I think the challenge is to sort of shift some of this funding to the private sector.
Actually, in some of these national health financing schemes, that's exactly the strategy. So you shift the public spending a little bit more to the private sector and the individual. So the individual actually contributes to the pooled risk. So when you have pooled risk, you actually bring down the premiums. Whereas currently, as we have a MediSave account, for example, that's something that's very easily depleted. You know, you have a catastrophic cover in like a cancer treatment, you exhaust that very, very quickly.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, there's an interesting study in the US where they said that most Americans are one serious illness away from bankruptcy.
That is true. Yep.
I mean, that is frightening, you know, that, you know, so we don't want that sort of situation. So we've got to make sure that people are covered one way or the other, either by government or hopefully more and more by themselves and their companies.
Speaking of illnesses and how, you know, it's been brought up in recent years that diabetes is a problem in Singapore, Vikram, you are quite passionate about this, the potential, a possibility of a sugar tax. Give us your thoughts. You've been writing about this for quite some time now.
Yeah, I've been lobbying for this since, I think, 2016, which still hasn't happened. I mean, we've tried everything else. We've tried sort of moral suasion.
Sure.
We've tried improving labeling. We've banned sugar drinks from schools and so on, but we have done nothing on the fiscal side. Now there's a lot of international experience with this. A number of countries have already implemented sugar taxes, and I think the results are in, and they're positive. I think the WHO has put out a study which says that a 20% increase in taxes on sugary drinks leads to a 20% decline in consumption.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The other thing is, of course, if you act to prevent diabetes and obesity, you have a lot of other savings in healthcare,
sure,
right? Because these conditions lead to other problems, other health problems. So you save on those as well.
So you go to the root first, improve the health so that you don't have to spend.
Now, to be sure, this is not a sort of magic bullet that is going to cure everything. I mean, you need a range of measures, lifestyle changes, labeling, all those things. But I think this will definitely help, and international experience shows that it can be effective.
And Alvin, you alluded to the fact that from a revenue standpoint, this actually doesn't have a lot of impact to the budget overall. What are your thoughts on this, and how has this been implemented, say, in other countries in the region?
I think, if I remember correctly on the last question, I think is it Philippines or Indonesia, they're currently talking about putting that in place?
Yes, there's Philippines and Thailand. Vietnam's thinking about it as well.
Correct. And I think from our own Singapore standpoint, if we really can collect a significant amount of tax based on sugar, right, on a 6 million population, right, we should be looking at quite serious levels of diabetes anyway. So I think the tax should go up higher if we can get that much revenue from it. But from jokes aside, the whole plan itself on sugar tax, I think it should be looked at it a more holistic way, because I think the government has already put in place many incentives for people to have a more active lifestyle. And this itself will be, in a way, good complement to the whole suite of measures to improve overall healthy living.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, final question. What is on your wish list, each of you, in terms of this budget? Vikram, why don't you go ahead first?
Apart from sugar tax.
Okay, well, all right. Well, everybody has their wish list, and I guess I have mine.
Yeah.
One is, this should be an expansionary budget, because as we said, we're going to face a year of slowdown. Second, I think while we know that there's going to be a Merdeka package, we don't know exactly what it's going to be, but
sure,
I think alongside that, there should be some measures to control rising healthcare costs in the future through maybe shifting some of the burden to the private sector and so on. The sugar tax we've talked about, I think we need to relax foreign labor policies, foreign worker policies. I think there's a lot of companies that are clamoring for this, especially tech companies. They're outsourcing jobs to India and Vietnam. And I think that is something that the government needs to look at least for certain sectors. I think in terms of skills, I think SkillsFuture, I think it has had a great start, but I think maybe we need to do more. Maybe we need to introduce one-for-one matching. You know, you spend something, the government matches it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think more and more people are going to be signing up for these massive open online courses, you know, which are approved under the SkillsFuture credit. I mentioned the GST. I think we can't do very much about raising the rate until 2021, but I think we can think about lowering the GST threshold and expanding the GST tax base. I don't think there's a case for reducing income tax, sadly, because inequality is still an issue. But I think, as Alvin alluded, it could be possible to, say, have a surcharge, a surtax, on the really the top-level incomes, you know, above $500,000 or something like that. You could do something like that. On wealth tax, maybe there's property tax and capital gains tax. Yes, property tax, I think, could be adjusted, at least for the high end again. Mm-hmm. But capital gains tax is a tough one. I think that'll hurt your property market. That'll hurt your stock market. So I think that would be difficult for Singapore to do. So that's basically a summary of my wish list.
Alvin?
Oh, that's quite a lot. It covers quite a bit. I think personally would like to see measures to help in terms of companies, especially doing innovation, right? I think more can be done, especially for SMEs, to help them go through this very difficult and often very expensive journey. And I think the results will pay for itself, because SMEs will be able to be an anchor of employment for the domestic market. And sugar tax itself, it could be unpopular at the start, right? Yeah. But the long-term health benefits is there and work. And hopefully they come out holistically with more measures to help improve, like work-life balance, things like that.
I like that.
Yeah. And for working moms, definitely, right, they would like to see more from the government. And I think we should be leading that difference, because a lot of economies around the world, right, they are facing employment issues because of the female labor portion of labor, right, is not fully participating in it, and we can be a leader in that area.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time this morning. I really wish we had more time, but I guess all eyes and ears will be paying attention to what our Finance Minister Heng Swee Keat has to say at 3:30 p.m.
Thank you. Thank you, Elliot.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Brian.
This Budget 2019 preview written and produced by Ryan Huang.
Singapore Budget Conversations, only on Money FM 89.3. Brought to you by UOB. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.